Blog Talk Radio.
One thing he said was,
so there ain't no way you can make me forget.
And my grandpa, he served in World War II under General George Patton. And he served in World War II when they were in France. So my dad really gets into watching the History Channel, the Military Channel, watching shows on World War II, all the stuff his father had told him.
Right.
So I was just happy to be in the studio again. And this huge, photo documentary, little known stories book on World War II, $6. I was like, it's a Christmas present right there. Yeah, so that's already wrapped.
Yes, I've already started Christmas shopping.
Well, you gotta start thinking about Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, we have a great Rocky Marciano Christmas package that's gonna be available pretty shortly. It's available now, actually, but I haven't put up the ad yet on the sites.
Give me a sneak preview. What do we got here?
We're gonna have a Rocky Marciano stocking available for the first time.
Really?
The foundation history. With a picture of Rocky at the Orchard Club in Brockton, and he has a kid on his lap whispering in his ear because he's playing Santa. So Dennis came up with this ingenious thing to do a stocking stuffer special. I'm not sure if he's going to try to do it with every stocking or what he's going to do, but he's going to try to find little trinkets, Rocky-related or boxing-related, to put in the stocking. So you don't just get the stocking, you get something out of it. And I thought it would be a good idea to, get some rare stuff, off eBay and, do a raffle even for, a real stocking stuffer thing.
What's cool is, a lot of people put stuff on eBay, but when you can get some really great deals on things, a lot of times people don't always go in there to look for Rocky Marciano.
You can get a canceled Rocky Marciano check for $1,400 on eBay.
Well, I know the other year I went on there, because every year I would just go on eBay and type in Rocky Marciano or Vinny Pez, and I was looking for little trinkets to get my dad, he's a big boy fan, and of course I went down and joined in on these things, so the one year I went on there and I found a guy that had 10 full fights. I mean, he weren't just highlight tapes, but actual full fights. He had 10 Marciano fights on there. He fought with Joe Louis. First fight with Jersey Joe Walcott, all 13 rounds. The fight with Archie Moore, the fight with Ezra Charles when he got his nose split open. Don Cockle, there was a shitload of them. I got it for $10.
Yeah, there was somebody I was trying to get a download. It was 1.1 gigabytes worth of Rocky and classic boxing matches. Mostly Rocky, but a lot of other classic boxing matches too. And the guy would never get on his computer, so I could download it. So I just stopped trying. But it's out there somewhere. Some guy's got some hell of a match.
This guy's amazing. Maybe two DVDs. And he was
But anyway, getting back to the current day. Before I finish on that topic, there is a package that's going to be available. It's going to be $40. You get the stocking, calendar, a DVD, and a shirt, all for $40, which is pretty good deal, considering the shirt itself costs $20.
Right.
The DVD is $15, the calendar's $12, and then the stocking is supposed to sell for $20. It's a really good deal. But anyway, current day boxing, we got a pretty interesting matchup here. Ricky Hatton's putting on a show in England the same weekend that UFC 105 is in England. In Manchester, England, UFC 105 is going down. And then the big fight of the week, it looks like, is Matthew Hatton, 37-4 versus Lovemore and the Dew at welterweight. And it's for the IBO welterweight title. Didn't know Matthew Hatton was that good. But I fight for a title.
Yeah, Matthew would definitely step under his brother, which, in fact, he's a underdog in the fight against a lot more end up.
And he's kind of tucked down way at the bottom, but there's also a pretty interesting cruiserweight match between Rob Norton, who's 31-4 with 19 knockouts, and Ismael Abdul, 32-15 with 13 knockouts. And there's a 10-round middleweight, the co-main event, for the BBFC English middleweight title between 18-1 Danny Butler, who only has 3 knockouts, but he's facing Darren McDermott, who's 16-2 with one draw and has 9 knockouts. There's a couple other interesting fights, but nothing too flashy, though. And I just wanted to touch briefly on UFC 105 before we get more into it, maybe a little bit later. But the main event there is going to be Randy Couture versus Brandon Vera. Michael Bisping is going to be in action, of course, because it's in England. He's fighting Dennis Kang, a guy from Japanese circles. He's pretty good. He's 32-11-1, is Kang, and Bisping is coming off a real bad knockout loss against Tom White here. Dan Henderson, sorry. Also, Mike Swick is back in action versus Dan Hardy. Ross Pearson, another British guy, versus Aaron Riley, a guy who's actually been around these local circles here where I am at some of the events. James Wilkes versus Matt Brown. Wilkes, I think, is another British guy. Brown is a guy from The Ultimate Fighter. He's kind of had on and off success since the show in the UFC, but he's always putting on a good show. So, and these are two former Ultimate Fighter guys. Wilkes is from the British versus U.S. show, I think. Paul Taylor versus John Hathaway. Terry Etten versus Shannon Gooch. Paul Kelly versus Dennis Seaver. Andre Winner versus Rolly Delgado. Matt Riddle versus Mick Oshipchak. And Alexander Gustafsson versus Jared Hammond. Round out that card. And also, the stuff that happened already, we had a couple interesting fights over the weekend. We had David Haye versus the Russian Giants, who didn't get the knockout.
Oh, that's right.
I believe you said decision, right? I said knockout.
Yeah, I said it would be a close decision. I said it would be a slow, sloppy fight, and his speed and agility would win it for him.
Yeah, and actually, somebody in the press came out with an article. I know it was a blogger or an actual headline, but somebody called value of fat and sloppy. I was like, oh, that's pretty appropriate. He did look pretty flabby. You know, it seems to me this guy's been in boxing for enough years to know that, you know, you really have to condition yourself, even if you are freakishly big, and it's tough to do. You know, you should have some muscles on you if you can be.
I don't think he can condition himself like the kids can, because I think they're big, but they're more like normal big. I think this guy, he has to have a touch of that acromegaly, disease that Andre the Giant had. You can look at the size of his head, look at the size of his hands, you can just look at the freakish, you know, size of him overall, and now you see a lot of times he has a knee brace when he comes in the ring, and I'll tell you, like, his body is just going to keep continuing to grow, unlike the Klitschko brothers, you know, who are...
I know you're making me want to cry, Tony, come on.
What?
Now you're making me want to cry. Start playing violin.
Andre the Giant. I'm gonna transition this right into a wrestling topic.
Whoa.
Did you happen to see WWE Monday Night Raw this past week?
No, I didn't.
You should have seen it.
What happened?
Well, man, an exhibit guest host every week. And this week from England was Ricky Hatton.
Right, I did hear that.
He was talking about his brother's fight with Lev Moreno, and then Ricky Hatton in a fake boxing match knocked out Chavo Guerrero.
Oh boy. Was Ricky Hatton living up to his Ricky Fatten nickname, or did he look pretty good?
Yes, he was. Well, it looked kind of well tough.
Right. And of course, the big fight this weekend in boxing is going to be Manny Pacquiao versus Miguel Cotto. And, I think there was one UFC guy that actually said he was going to knock this guy out and he's going to watch the Pacquiao fight. So I don't know if he is going to be tested if you're saying that. But. It's going to be interesting to see, because this is a guy at the top of the card in the UFC who's really an American legend, so there's no excuses if boxing kicks this card's ass. Like the last one, the Floyd Mayweather fight did, so... It's going to be cool to see what happens. But I think it's definitely going to shatter some records, maybe. It'll definitely outdo the UFC.
I'm looking at this Manny Pacquiao card from top to bottom. Now, there's going to be three to four fights that are going to be, you know, on the pay-per-view broadcast. They all look pretty good. You know, so,
two guys who are undefeated with some impressive records. I bet you're going to say something bad about it, but Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., 40-0 with 30 knockouts and one draw. He's on the card, like middleweight. I don't know. There's some junior out there that you don't like. Junior. Oh, that one. Maybe I'm confusing him with him. But Julio Cesar Sr. was just in the news. He opened up a big club in Arizona, where he had a few losses in his career, which is rare. He didn't have any losses. But, he's going to be getting into these boxing-themed nightclubs, I guess. And we'll be cheering him on for that. It sounds like a good idea. But his son here is fighting. And there was a mention in the article of another son that he has who's going to be fighting when they open that club. Officially, they have the grand opening, and he's going to be, the son's going to be on the card. Well, not the grand opening, but the first boxing event they have there. And this is a younger son. Yes. And I guess he's even better than Lincoln Jr. So, watch out. Boxing worlds, apparently.
Let's look at this card we got here. I got four fights I just want to touch on real fast for Saturday night's card. And I don't know if we're going to show all four of them. We have 2 10 rounds and 2 12 rounders. We got Alfonso Gomez, the contender season one, has a win over Peter Manfredo, has a knockout win over Arturo Gatti, and then a knockout loss to Miguel Cotto. He's fighting the Jesus fight of the week. He's fighting Jesus Soto Caraz, who's 24-3 for Montreal, 16 knockouts. So that could be a 10-round fight. That could be potentially interesting. Looking at Caraz's record now, fighters on there, Hiklop Lau, even though he's a decent fighter. We got Dave Pastrana, Chris Smith, he's won all them. And he actually, his three losses were in succession back in 2004. And he lost all of them by decision, a 12-round, a 10-round, and an 8-round. And the combined record of the guys he lost to, 44-0. Hey, you know, he's on a win streak now. He's fighting Alfonso Gomez. A tough fighter, got the best ability. And 3 straight wins since he's lost to Cotto. And also on the card, we have, as we aforementioned, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And he's fighting a gentleman by the name of Troy Rowland. Troy Rowland, 34 years old. He's 25-2 with 7 knockouts. Last loss was back in 2005 to Daniel Dugia, world title challenger. So he's on a 4-fight win streak, but he had a 2005, but he came back this year with 2 wins. And now he's obviously stepping up in class against Chavez Jr. And the co-main event is Daniel Santos, and nobody talks about, because he lost in the shuffle of all the Punisher Williams and Kermit Cintron and Sergio Martinez, all those guys. Decision split. There's a win over Margarita, so you know, how the hand grass went for that point, and it's gone entire summer. Then we get to the point everybody's talking about, which is the main event. That's up between Manny Pacquiao and Miguel Cotto. 12 rounds. And as I was saying earlier, Rich, this is the fight where Cotto started his career up at 140. He's having trouble making that weight, so they bumped him up to 147 in the welterweight. But for this fight, the contract weight is either 144 or 145. And it's like, well, that 2 or 3 pounds, how much is that adversity going to affect Cotto? I mean, we saw in his last fight that his legs have not looked sturdy. He really struggled in the second half of that fight with Shane Mosley, and that was about 2 years ago. They just had the finish out. He destroyed Alfonso Gomez in 5 rounds. I mean, that was a whitewash. Then he turned around, and he was beating Antonio Margarito, which is a tremendous beating. Once again, we can't say if or if not Margarito's raps were loaded, but no matter the fact, it was Cotto still took a lot of punishment in that fight. Cut really bad, knocked down 2 times. I mean, just absolutely pounded into the mat. And then he came back. First fight was against the setup. Put him away in 5 rounds. Then he fought Josh McClosh last June. And he took a lot of punishment in that fight. He was cut again over his eye. And I have a friend of mine that I sent you all these reports from, that guy George Hansen. George Hansen covered that fight ringside. No way he could have got that decision. And he said if he went another round, it's a clash, might have knocked him out. And he said, Cotto just looked, his legs just looked weak. He just looked like he didn't have that same spring in his leg. And he was like, deadlocked.
So it's like,
when the things start to get rough, so like the seventh or eighth round, and both guys are getting beaten, would you rather go back to a corner and have Freddie Roach sitting there, or a nutritionist?
Well, I don't know if the trainer is really should be the focus here. I mean, Pacquiao is what he is. You know, he's a smaller guy, but he has developed tremendous power and speed, like we haven't seen except maybe Shane Mosley's last fight, which was very impressive. And I don't know if Floyd Mayweather was referring to that when he was talking about steroids and Shane, but
just talking about trainers. I mean, can a trainer make a difference sometimes? Absolutely. I know, and I'm going back to my brief career. There were some trainers that I worked with that I got along great with, and there were some times, and I'm going to go back, I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about the guy, but we got along great at the time. And sometimes me and Dr. Cox would clash. You know, it's a different personality. So there were times I'd be in the corner with him, just like say something, and I would simply respond to him. I mean, it caused that to be my fault, but with some different personality sometimes. Now, Jim Cooper, our assistant coach, I actually really got along great with Jim Cooper, and he, I kind of felt, was in ways similar to my trainers in Philadelphia, who I had a really good rapport with. So there were times that I'd go back and Cooper would say something, and it might be just something so simple as saying, you know, you're moving to your right, and this guy is able to land a left on you. Move to your left, beat the jab, and throw a hook. And next thing I know, the guy's on the canvas.
Right.
And it moved because of that. I had tough fights that I may have been losing. And it's funny. It's like, man, what am I going to do? And that experience and that, you know, welcome of feeling in the corner was like, oh, okay, now I know what to do. And now I know how to implement it. And if you work with a guy like Pacquiao has been with Freddie Roach, it's almost like an unspoken communication between them.
Freddie Roach is like the Rain Man of boxing trainers. You're the Rain Man of boxing. Freddie Roach is like the Rain Man of boxing.
Like I'm the Rain Man of like boxing reporting?
Yes. And
I just want to touch base quickly on the two fights of this past weekend, just so we don't forget to do that. Main event, he had Chad Dawson versus Glenn Johnson.
It's
not a tremendously exciting fight. You know, Dawson just uses speed, uses range, uses southpaw boxing ability, threw about 10,000 jabs, kept Johnson off him.
I mean, the parts that I watched, I didn't see him using his jab as much as I've seen him use it in the past. I think he used a lot more of the other punches, a lot of hooks and uppercuts and right hands. I mean, left, straight lefts. And, you know, he seems to be mixing it up a lot more than some of his previous fights when he used a lot of pawing jabs, you know. It seemed like he was starching his jabs, too, a lot more.
But he did sort of stay on the outside and control the pace. Didn't want to mix it up with Johnson. Johnson, you know, was the aggressor, but then throwing up punches. And that was the story of the fight. I know Harold Butterman had it 10 rounds to 2 for Dawson. And judges at ringside had it a little bit closer to him had it within 2 points. But the right guy won. Chad Dawson absolutely won that fight. It wasn't a very, you know, standout performance. It wasn't a performance to make you jump up and say, wow, I want to buy a ticket to this next fight. And thank you, he's the best fighter in the world today. It was just, it was there. He used his gifts. It was kind of like when Roy Jones beat, I'm trying to remember the guy, did Mike McCallum back in like 1996, where he could have really been impressive. And he did just enough to win and just enough to not get hit. The undercard fight was a personal friend of mine, a former guest on our show, Harry J. Yorkie, unfortunately suffered his first professional defeat. And in a pretty horrific fashion, he's fighting the once-beaten Alfredo Angulo, whose only loss was to Kermit Cintron. And Angulo, known as a straightforward power puncher, and Harry was successful in the first round, just some lateral movement and boxing him from the outside, but the problem was he wasn't setting down on his punches at all, and he wasn't hitting Angulo enough to gain his respect. He was just trying to keep him off balance. Because Angulo started getting a lot of momentum, started coming forward with no fear of getting him back, got Harry in the corner, and they exchanged, and Harry got the worst of it, got hurt second round, it was one of the teetering on the brink of going down again. And when he got to the third round, I turned to my dad, and I'm like, Dad, he's still hurt. His legs are like rubber. And it didn't take long for Angulo to get him in the corner. And Jason was a pretty solid left-hook, right-cross combination of good wind and flush, and, you know, not carry out. And, you know, I'm glad to say that, you know, Harry, he was on the canvas for 2 minutes, but he was communicating, and then he did get up, and he was okay. He left the ring on the same power. So, you know, it's sad to see a friend of yours lose like that, but, you know, we did make it on HBO. We got a good payday, and hopefully a good, you know, learning experience out of it.
Yeah, don't fight crazy Mexicans.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guy's a Mexican, but, but he was a little fierce. He ought to be nicknamed the Chupacabra. He came out of nowhere, and he's just, like, relentless. There was a couple knockdowns before that, I think, and, you know, just relentless pace and quite the intensity. So, look for him. I mean, the video highlight that you showed me talked about, you know, he's back, I guess. He's renewed his passion for the sport. He's definitely nobody to F with, even though we can say fuck. But anyway, I didn't get to really see the whole fight, but I did see snippets of the Glenn Johnson and Chad Dawson fight, and I thought it was a pretty good fight. It was more interesting than the David Haye fight, and we didn't really touch too much on exactly what happened, but basically David stayed on the outside and just basically kept his distance and scored just as much as he needed to score in almost every round. It was like very hard to stay watching. I think I watched like 4 rounds and it was enough. And it was good to see that somebody developed the right strategy, but I would have rather seen the strategy like little Barney Rubble used, which a guy that he came out on the inside and really battered him, and you know, just got close, whereas Haye just kept on the outside and just did some pop shots here and there. Valuev didn't really look like he was stalking or really trying to hit Haye either. He was just kind of like 1-2 in it the whole time. Didn't look very impressive to me at all. Thank you. Matt Schultz is the guy. And it was at Untamed 14, the fight was at. And Schultz, I don't think he fought after that really that much. No, no. That was his last fight. Except for when he was on the Ultimate Fighter after that. And he ended up 5-1, officially. I know he runs a gym down here on the Cape somewhere, but Josh Dietzman pretty much destroyed him in that fight back in 2007. And I haven't seen or heard of much going on with Dietzman lately. His last fight was 9/13/2008, so it's been...
Oh, well, it's my 42nd birthday.
Oh, there you go. You're born on the 13th?
Yeah.
Wow. Know that. That's kind of interesting.
I'm just going to trivia about my birthday. I'm going to laugh before we call this guy. I was born 16 days early. I was supposed to be September 29th. And my mom went to labor on Sunday, September 12th.
Right.
If you ever go see the movie Invincible, which is the story of Vince McMahon, he was like a bartender that tried out for the show to take the team.
Right.
For his first game, game against Dallas. It was the day after that that I was born. And said I was born 2.5 weeks early. Well, apparently my mom went into labor at 4:30 p.m. on that Sunday, a half hour after the Eagles lost the game to Dallas. So apparently I must have been pissed off because I was coming out. Someone asked me, I said, well, I was born early. Well, like, oh, you were on Friday the 13th? I said, no, I said, I was born on Monday the 13th. Oh, Monday. Well, no, the Eagles on Monday Night Football, you want to miss it? So I actually looked it up at their schedule, and I'm like, no, they lost the game to Dallas the day before. I'm like, yeah, that was the Vince Papale game before, December 12th. Like, Mom, what time did you go to labor? She goes, went to labor around 4:30. I'm like, oh, I'm a pissed.
Yeah, that's funny.
I was pissed at that game the other night, too.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Fucking cockroach with a bad spot. I want to pick my phone out of the wax and put in that referee's drink.
Yeah, I figured you'd be upset about some of that stuff.
Yeah, I've been ordering. I was talking to somebody today. The other time I boxed out VMI, was the year before you got there. And the doctor stopped the fight because I got my whole lip cut real bad. He was getting dated. Two-time heavyweight national champs. I'm fighting. And I got my lip cut bad. In the third round, about 30 seconds ago, the doctor stopped it. He goes, you got to go to the hospital, get stitches. I'm like, no, I'm not going. I'm like, you'll have to show at Lock Haven next week, and I'm not missing it. He goes, no, you cannot play on that show. I'm like, yes, I am going to play on that show. And he goes, I suggest you go to the hospital. I'm like, I suggest you shut the hell up. He goes, fine, yeah, I'm playing. And that's what I did. I went back. I took my son the whole way home. Got back, and the whole thing was swollen. He put me into an open cut, you know.
Whoa.
Florida's just enough for me to get the physical the next week to play.
Wow. That's tough.
It took all 10 seconds for me to get busted wide open again, but the other one in that position was a guy that I personally knew.
Yeah.
I used to mentor his son. I was kind of like a big brother to the kid. So I just gave him one look, and he didn't even look at me twice.
Cut me, Rob. Cut me, Mickey.
I was watching that last night.
Cuts his eye open. That's probably the most vicious scene in Rocky history. But I've actually seen worse in real life. I mean,
I want you to bridge next time you get a chance. Get a Rocky 2, alright? You've seen Rocky 2, I see.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's the one where he runs out and all the kids follow him? Mm-hmm. Now, there's three things I gotta disagree with. Number one, first of all, what kids are gonna leave the street corner and go jogging with some complete stranger down the street to Philadelphia? That's a problem. So if I try to do that, my parents will beat the shit out of me. So these kids are jogging for miles. Now what happens if Rocky's done his run? What do you think the kids do? They go home now? The kids don't know where the hell they are. So was he supposed to keep one of them home? That's a problem. The other thing I wanted to see was he jumps over some, like, park benches. I was dying to see one of these kids try to do it together. And the third thing is the first group of kids to follow him. There's one kid wearing a blue jacket and a blue shirt with a pair of numbers on it. He's like a New York Giants jersey. I'd love to see Rocky go, hey, kids, come on, come on. Wait, no, not you. Get that goddamn Giants jersey off. You're in Philadelphia, you idiot. That's my dependent sense of humor.
Wow, thankfully, I'm in from New York to be an extra, I guess. That campus is that good.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Christian, this is Rich from Fight News Unlimited.
How you doing, Rich?
Good. We also have...
Hey, Chris, this is Tommy. I'm the co-host. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. We're a few minutes late. I ended up waiting on something. I'm making fun of the one Rocky movie, so I'm sorry we're a few minutes late.
Oh, wait, what's that upside my phone? Hold on, my phone's kind of messed up. There we go. Go ahead.
Anyway, we're just hoping to talk to you about this big fight you got coming up with Josh Diekman. I've actually seen him fight a couple times. He's a pretty big dude. He's definitely a tough guy. What are your thoughts going in to face a guy like him?
Yeah, I'm a well-weighted tough guy. I know he's got some experience on me, and he's looking to step in the ring with Josh and.
And do you have any kind of favorite punch or submission move that you like to use in fights?
We're gonna find that out on Saturday.
You're gonna keep that a secret for now, huh?
It's not secrets, man. It's all basics.
Right. And how did you first get into fighting in the first place?
Joined an MMA club with Don Cicero and Cape Cod, and ever since then I was hell bent on it, man.
And did you have any kind of background in wrestling, or did you have a lot of street fights as a kid that gave you some background in it, or did you just kind of...
Yeah, I'm more rough-house in it with the neighborhood kids and the older kids, you know what I mean? Some street fight stuff like that, but... Street fight is completely different than a fight in the ring, as we all know, you know? There's absolutely no rules in a street fight.
Zach, I'm glad you said that, because the one thing I always try to talk to kids, especially teenagers and all, I train mostly for boxing. I boxed for a number of years, and then I try to help some kids out. I was a troublemaker growing up. And that's one thing I always say to them. If you want to fight, with the ring, or now you have the difference that you go to a boxing ring, you go to an octagon, you have so many more options to do it. And I say, do that. The benefit of it, first of all, you have discipline, you have self-respect, you have respect for your opponent. And the thing is, when it's over, you shake hands, you're done. You don't have to worry about that guy coming down the street to retaliate and you pull up a gun, or you're on the way to get stabbed in there. Have a good, clean, honest competition.
Right, not only that, too, is, you know, people can hum rocks and, you know, with the,
I have actually been hit,
fall on the ground, you bust your head open, you know what I mean, you fucking get burnt toast after that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, speaking of that, I can tell you firsthand, speaking of the Cape, too, I was in an altercation down there in Hyannis where I had a bottle smashed over the back of my head, just trying to get my cousin out of a fight. So I was trying to be a peacemaker. Got 18 staples for it. Thank you very much.
One beer only cost 18 staples.
Right. Yeah. Well, I wasn't even drunk. That was the funny part. And then, actually, I probably was, because after the fact, I was out back trying to get people to come out and fight me one at a time. But anyway, what do you think about this KHFX group? I know that they're still kind of a young organization. And right now that they're doing really phenomenally well from what I hear. And they had a great show at the Brockton Outdoor Rocks Arena there, stadium.
I've never fought for them before. This is my first time. They know that they've helped me a lot, and they're more involved with more involved behind the scenes than, you know, the other organization I fought for. They seem like great people, you know what I mean? And, I'm not trying to so much focus on that as much as I am this fight, you know what I mean? They definitely seem like they got a good package going here, you know?
And, it's like you fought for reality fighting before. I think actually I might have actually seen one of your fights.
All three of my fights have been for reality, yeah.
Did you fight in Plymouth?
Yes.
All right. I think I did see that fight. Eric Foley twice. And I know from going to his, seeing a lot of his fights before, he brings a real lot of local fans. And the house comes down when he comes out. So it must have been a kind of an interesting thing to have to fight him twice. Usually he's, you know, he's got all the road crew with him. You know, so you might have been fighting against the crowd, I guess, huh?
Yeah, the first time I fought him, he was having some issues. So, you know, he was fair, he gave him a rematch second time. And, you know, I fought him again after that. You know, there was nobody else in line. And the next person after him is Mr. Beekman, you know what I mean? And so I'm just looking forward to this fight. It's an honor. It's a pleasure to get in the ring with Josh Beekman. And, you know, I just can't wait for him.
And it looks like Josh. I don't know if this Sherdog record is 100% correct here, but it looks like he hasn't even fought since last year, September of last year. And you're coming off a fight last July, right?
Fought July. You know, the internet, man. He's such a secret, you know what I mean? Who knows? You know, I know if he's, parent, you know what I mean? He's training hard as well, be, you know, which, you know, for our show for people, man.
And actually, now you're the main event pretty much, right? Because the other fight,
I think, I wouldn't call it the main event. I don't think, I was looking, you know, so like I said, the internet, you know, you can't trust that thing, you know. You can't trust it or fix it, you know what I mean? I hardly know how to work the damn thing, but, you know, I was looking at the fight card, it looked like we're in the middle, you know what I mean? In the middle, the first fight, last fight, it doesn't matter, it's still going down, it's going to be a war.
All right. Good to hear it. And, What do you enjoy most about fighting MMA?
It's just like the ultimate experience, man. First of all, it's just like the triathlon of everything, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta be strong, you gotta be quick, you gotta be fast, you know what I mean? You gotta be good at everything, you gotta be good at all, you know, you gotta be well-rounded in all the areas of fighting, you know what I mean? You can't just be, you know, a boxer. I mean, you see guys who just box. Trying to hang in there, you know, in the cage, and man, like, bang, you put the heel hook, you know what I mean? You got, guys who just wrestle and you never boxed before, bang, get knocked out, you know what I mean? And you gotta be good at everything, you gotta be, you know, you gotta be on your toes, man, you gotta be ready. You know, you know what I mean? The conditioning is awesome, you know what I mean? It's just like the ultimate high, if you ask me, you know, getting in there and you know, throwing. Going down.
Getting paid to beat someone down.
Yeah.
Now, with not fighting, that you enjoy the sport of the fan, too?
Do I enjoy the sport of the fan? Yeah, yes, I do. It's, I love watching the other guys at the upper level. You know, of course, my favorite is Brock Lesnar. I just think he's just ridiculous. I mean, look at the guy. I watch him train and everything about him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think.
I'd love to see him and Fedor fight. You know, one of these days, I'm sure it will happen. You know, people will put money in. He goes inside. You know what I mean? And they'll get it on.
I really think Fedor decided not to go in the UFC not just for money, but because of Brock Lesnar. I don't think he wants to ever fight him.
I know. Look at it. Man, if you watch his training video, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
That's how he passes all the steroid tests, because it only creates them out. Who knows? But it kind of reminded me of Rocky, you know. Tony here is a huge Rocky Marciano fan, of course, and I believe it was a right hand that Fedor threw, and it was right out of the Rocky Marciano book. That's what one of the fights Rocky's famous for too, is a cut that split his nose in half, and he comes back in the next round and knocks out Ezra Charles. So,
yep,
kind of interesting. But Fedor is the Russian version, I guess.
What I've seen a lot of times in sports, and when I was younger and I really didn't understand, and I would watch a lot of boxing, and I would watch a fight that would be a great fight, and I'm gonna take a fight of recent time that was great, and I'm just gonna put it into what my mentality would have said back in, like, say, 1987 when I was 10, 11 years old. Take a great boxing match like Arturo Gatti versus Mickey Ward, any of the three of them, but especially the first one. I would have told you after that fight when I was 10 years old that that fight wasn't any good because it went the distance. But you could have another fight that was absolutely dreadful for 11 and a half rounds, and then somebody get knocked out with a half slap of a punch with a 12th, and I would have told you it was a great fight because it was a knockout. And sometimes you'll see a performance that's not impressive, but a person throws a great knockout punch at the very end. If they get their ass kicked, 90% of the fight, they do that one great, impressive, so shock you, knock you out punch, and wow, now you're reaping praise on him. And like just that much out of it. He was losing that fight to Jersey Joe, but he was hanging tough. You know, he was losing, but he felt he wasn't getting whitewashed. He was losing that fight, but he was still in it, and that's when he threw that, unbelievable right hand punch to knock Jersey Joe out.
Yeah. Now, Christian, have you been to this venue before, this Jungleplex there in Plath? I haven't been there yet. I know that they had one fight.
I've never been there, no.
So you're going to be new to it just like I am. I know that they had another event there. It wouldn't be calling this Rumble in the Jungle 2 if they didn't. it's interesting. I know that Memorial Hall has been the traditional venue. And you fought there before, you know what that's like. It's a pretty decent place to fight.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where the venue is for me, man. It's just getting in there, because when it all gets down to it, it's going to be a building of shots, and the ref is going to ask if both dudes are ready, and that's it.
Right.
There it goes, man,
And what's your, what's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight?
Conditioning.
You do a lot of running?
A lot of bear crawls, wind sprints, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of, different kinds of weight training with, open time, straightening down from weights, slow rep, from low rep, high weight, low reps. As the time goes on, the weeks go on, your conditioning gets better, turn it up to, lower weights, higher reps, a lot of skipping ropes, a lot of shadow boxing, a lot of grappling, It's the fight game, dude. It's endless. You can never do enough, and then, you'll never know everything, It's endless. I love it.
Well, that's good. You get the right attitude, that's for sure. And now, where do you train out of down there in the Cape?
I train out of the Dungeon.
The Dungeon? That's a good place for a fight.
Dungeon, yeah.
That's a good name. And Tom, what kind of guys you train with there?
I train with Nazai, I train with Fernando Perez, train with Phil Pace, train with a bunch of guys, I train with just a bunch of guys. I'm sorry guys, I'm just so tired right now, everything just came to my mind, I've been up since 5:30 this morning,
Yikes. What have you been doing for that long?
And I work, man. I still work.
Actually, it's funny you say that because, speaking of the mixed martial artists fighting and have to keep the day job, I just read about a guy named War Machine. He legally changed his name to War Machine. Josh Copenhaver, I believe his real name was. Have you ever heard of that guy?
I think I have heard of him. Yeah.
I just read an article today that he's had to change jobs, and he can't sustain himself on the MMA career anymore. So he's gone to the very rough and tough world of porno.
Yeah.
A lot of these fighters are interchangeable in all of them. They don't have, exclusivity contracts like the UFC or anything. So, you know, you see a lot of these folks on multiple cards, and a lot of people know who everybody is. You got a bunch of fighters who have gone on to great things from Massachusetts. I mean, Joe Lozon is probably the guy that's mentioned the most. The Kenny Florian. And you've got Josh Grisby is one that recently hit the stratosphere there with WEC. Took out Jens Pulver. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. Congratulations to Grisby. You know, I mean, that was that is sick, you know. That's awesome.
Christian, what I'm doing right now is I'm actually watching one of your last fights that Rich had posted on our website here.
Okay.
First time I've seen you, but it looks like you got a pretty good standing up game. I mean, I was like, it's the first you knocked the guy out. But you need to put about, 10 or 12 consecutive straight right hands. And look, are you more of a good stand up fighter, or do you take on the ground?
I'm trying to make a play that I'm all well-rounded, you know what I mean? I don't want to know. You know what I mean? I know what you're trying to ask me, which one's my stronger point. I'm 60 and enough, but, you know, like I said, I've only been, doing it for about 2.5 years, being in the ground game for my slouching for 2.5 years, you know?
Right. Well, that's the thing. I forget who I was talking to a few years ago. It's one fitness center. I'm a Philadelphia guy, and, I trained in a South Philly boxing gym, which was strictly boxing. It was a rec center. We put a couple people on title fights. And then when I kind of moved over to the suburbs, I was in the fitness center, and I was kind of doing boxing instruction. They were wanting me more to do the aerobic boxing. I said, I can't do that. And I said, I'm a tough, hard-nosed, kind of like a young version of Mickey from the Rocky movie.
Upsetting, supposed to be in the UFC. This is the guy's big chance to get in there. And Dana White, after the fact, is talking about, like, that Matt Mitrione fight there. But the guys really tooled on each other, I mean, early on. But at the end of it, it was like they were having a pillow fight. And Dana White's calling it a great fight. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, these guys look sloppy. It looks bad for the sport when the guys don't know how to box.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And then, you know, you got a guy like Randy Couture, who's 45, and going against, like, when he fought Gonzaga there, who's another local Massachusetts guy, and broke his nose open with good boxing. And, you know, he's an old-school guy. He can box, but some of these new guys coming up, it's just they don't pay enough attention to boxing, it seems.
And that's the one thing I told this woman when, you know, she said, well, boxing is just punching people. We don't want to waste a lot of time on technique. I said, well, man, I said, why would you be bringing me in and offering me, you know, the money that I'm going to be asking for if you just want me to say, hit a bag? I said, you're going to train chip to say, hit that bag for 3 minutes. Another thing I'd love to do is, and Rich will tell you anytime, I'm a diehard in the most sports in Philadelphia. I am one of them diehard, crazy Philadelphians. We had a young kid come into a fitness center.
By the way, go Giants, go Mets. I'm sorry.
No matter what,
I'm staying by my team. I don't care if Eli's blowing a load right now. I don't care. I'm staying with my team.
I'm actually writing an article right now, not for Fight News Unlimited, but for you, just my personal blogging space, because I've been arguing with a lot of, you know, Dallas fans recently.
Oh, that's where the Cowboys, man.
Yeah. Okay. They got the beneficiary of a bullshit call the other night, too, against the Eagles. And I've been arguing with a couple of Yankees fans, because, you know, Philly Yankees World Series. And that's one thing, because I had two friends, like, Collins, that anywhere near New York. They're from, like, closer to Pittsburgh, PA, and they're saying, hey, play for the Yankees. We'd like you to get us tickets. I said, well, first of all, if I get tickets to a Philly Yankee game, why would I be an opposing fan so I can slap you around? But like I said, Rich is saying, anytime I'm like a diehard, you know, Philadelphia nut. And a couple years ago, in fact, now that you hate the Cowboys, you'll appreciate this even more. I'm in a gym, man. I'm training. You know, training people. I'm working out myself. There's one young kid there, about 14 years old, real smart now. You know, because he's always going to be tight in school. He would always go up to you, like, start a fight and run to the teacher when you go slap him. So he was like, I'm a Dallas fan, and he's talking shit to me. I said, son, you know what? Come in the gym for a minute. And he came in, and I taped his hands up, and I put him on a heavy bag. I said, you can do 2 minutes on this bag. Say anything you want. You can talk as much trash as you want to be. So he starts hitting the bag, and I said, 45 seconds, he starts to breathe hard. About a minute, his arms are in his sides. About a minute, 15, he quit. I said, you know what? You're like a Dallas fan. You're typical. You're a quitter. He turns around and he goes, you know what? I want to see you go 2 minutes. I said, son, I'll be in. I'll go 3 minutes. So I put the gloves on, and I'm hitting the bag, and I'm doing Eagles chant the whole time. 3 minutes go. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, and I said, yeah. I said, now you can shut up. And he goes, how did you do that? I said, son, I go about 8 to 10 rounds every night. That's impossible. I said, well, first of all, no, it's not impossible because I do it. And second of all, no, you're talking trash to before you talk trash. Like, don't make a bet with Brock Lesnar. You can do more push-ups than he can.
Well, I love it, man. I love your input.
I'm a straight-up knucklehead at the time, but, you know, I was still a little bit. That's why you think you're trying to mess, man, but that's your team. That's what you grew up with.
I got the real Steve Smith on my fantasy team, so I know the Giants are good sometimes.
Steve Smith, I mean, I'm not a big Eli fan, but you've got a quarterback that can get on the ball on, like, can't go home to home.
Yeah, right? He's, what a sad story, huh? I mean, he's really shit the bed since he went up against the Patriots in that shot-for-shot game there that came down to the final play, like the Patriots like to do all the time when they get to the Super Bowl. And when they don't.
Are you living in New England now?
I'm living in Cape Cod.
You were there 2 years ago when the Giants beat the Patriots?
I was, yes. It was brutal. You know, the Giants, the underdog, and everybody, wanted to slice my face.
People were very bitter after that.
You undefeated, you know, and I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll stay by the Giants. Go on, Taylor.
Even though we were all fans of our own team, I think a lot of us kind of had that feeling that that was going to happen. I think we all saw it coming, but we just didn't admit it. It was just like...
You weren't seeing that a week before the show, though.
No.
A week before the show, we were like, he got it. Yeah, of course, yeah.
But Dolphins.
And that was one thing. I mean, the game plan was to make it slow the game down, and when the Pats had the ball, just get after Brady. It's a deep hit. You have certain quarterbacks that can't be hit, and once you hit them, they fall to pieces.
Well, Bill Belichick is kind of like George Foreman when he did his comeback. George would say when he lost his big fights, I felt bad for the other guy, you know.
And I didn't want to shoot him anymore.
Yeah.
I know. He was beating me every round, but I hit him with a shot, and he took a step back, so I guess the referee just stopped the fight.
But Bill Belichick is not quite that bad. This is just the kind of guy who would like to beat you by a field goal. Not that he feels bad for you, but he's just, you know, he's a principled guy. You know, he doesn't usually like to run the score up.
The Cardinals last year 47-10, which was okay because I put money on that game and I bet on the Patriots.
But I think he would much rather beat you by a field goal, and he's done it so many times, you know, because he just does that just enough with his defense to be able to put his guys in position to get into field goal range and win the game by 3 points, you know.
Better beat him this week because I bet on him.
Yeah. I'm sure they
are.
You know how many times it went down to a fourth down goal line stance between them two? I think it was 2 years in a row they had those games come down to a fourth down goal line. And the
I'm just
going to
think Trumper needs some money, so.
All right.
Well, see, come on our show. We talk about MMA. We talk about boxing. We're talking about baseball, football. We'll talk about badminton, soccer. God, this is where we'll go.
Actually, speaking of soccer and MMA, did you see that bitch from that New Mexico team on the highlights? Oh my God, man, you gotta look that up. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, that she just got away with it. That's the hard part.
She wore her head up, boy. I tell you what.
She punches one girl in the back. She kicks another girl in the face. She yanks some girl to the ground who doesn't even realize it's coming by her ponytail. She just comes up behind this girl, Tony, and yanks her. And no red card, no yellow card, no nothing. They got up on video. She's not fined or anything because it's college, you know. So after the fact, they're just like talking, you know, all this smack about this girl and, you know, putting her on all these clips. But I'm like, how does nobody step in and say this girl should be fined or something? I mean, that's just overly brutal. It's like, and they're comparing it to this Brandi Chastain thing where she took her shirt off. I remember watching that game live, where she did that.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
If she was wearing like a real bra, it'd be something. But I mean, she's wearing a sports bra. It wasn't even that big a deal. This was scandalous. I mean, this bitch was fucking people off the head. And I think there's actually, I know there's a link to it on one of the Combat Sports Links blogs that I put up every day. There's the whole video on there. Check the main page. I'm sure it's on there. I know I did it either last night or the night before. Oh, but it was vicious. I mean, I saw it first on ESPN, and they just showed the hair pulling and the punch in the back. But then I saw this one online, and there's, like, more. I mean, they really went back and looked at the whole game and got all the clips of her just beating the fuck out of people on the field and getting away with it.
No doubt.
She only got, like, one yellow card at the end of the day. I don't know how that's possible. They need instant replay in college soccer, I guess.
I think they should let it go on. I think they should just soccer stuff being like hockey, man. You know,
maybe, yeah.
Fight.
No, everybody seems to like when the women fight because they just get particularly brutal. So maybe if you added that element to soccer, more people would want to watch it. But I don't know about the injury factor, if it would be worth it. You'd have girls being carted off with broken noses, and it'd get really ugly. You know, and you figure these girls are very good kickers, so that could be really dangerous.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you need badass to have somebody to catch a nice shot.
But, yeah, that covers all sports. Anyway, I know you're
going to tell us, listen, I need to cut it short, man. We got to get going. I got some things I got to do. I got to, you know, we got the weigh-ins tomorrow here. I got to get acclimated. So, thanks for your time. And I hope to see you guys at the show Saturday.
Well, you'll be seeing me. You won't be seeing Tony because he's in Philadelphia. He isn't going to have the budget to come up here. Or we don't have the budget.
Well, he can stay there with the Eagles and the Phillies. we'll come down here and we'll rumble in the jungle.
All right.
Well,
it was good having you on. I was actually just going to say, I know you're tired, so I'm going to let you go anyway. So good timing.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for everything. I appreciate the support.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, good luck on Saturday, all right? Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you.
Bye. All right, so that does it for that. We got a couple other news stories I wanted to mention. Right off the bat, I want to go to your neck of the woods, Tony, and tell you that Lock Haven just named their new wrestling coach. Did you know that?
Well, I heard all. Who was the coach, Rocky Patano, resigned?
I don't know what happened to him. I just didn't read the whole article.
I think he was up. Yeah, because, I mean, Rocky was there when I was there. Mm-hmm. And there was another coach, there was a head coach, calling, I don't remember, but Rocky was the assistant coach, and then he ascended to the head coach shortly after I graduated. And then when Rocky Patano, his name was, he was the head coach, I think he just recently resigned. Because I saw somebody write something on Facebook about it. So who was their new coach?
Robbie Waller.
Shut up.
Not to be confused with Robbie Lawler of MMA fame. There's been a lot of changes in Pennsylvania wrestling this year, especially with Penn State getting the guy from Iowa. He's like one of the best coaches in the country to come out there and coach Penn State. And interestingly enough, we're supposed to have Scott Casper on next week, who is the guy that is the co-host of Takedown Wrestling Radio. And talk about a radio voice, Tony. You're going to be jealous of this guy.
Okay.
he's got a great radio voice. And I interviewed him a couple times way back when, I think before you knew he existed. But it's been a while, so I figured we'd have him back on, and we don't do enough wrestling coverage, so, I mean, he doesn't really cover the pro wrestling stuff, but, you know, everything underneath, and some MMA he gets into, so, be a good guy to talk to about the Penn State program. He'll probably be able to tell you a lot about that coach, what he can do. He's based in Iowa, too, so, I mean, that's like wrestling heaven, Iowa.
Yeah, right. Well, I remember because, you know, well, we had, obviously a top flight wrestling program there. I remember, one year I was there, it may have been 96. We went to our first one of my first dual meet, when we did have a box in Mexico, too. And we had three really good kids that you're obviously there, Terry Kolak, who went to the Olympics in 2000. And, he won the national title that year. We also had a couple other guys. Mike Rogers was one, and I forget the other kid's name. And they were both really good. They were all Americans. Well, that year at Nationals, I think they both lost to an Iowa wrestler. I mean, Iowa, like, they just cranked out wrestling. You wouldn't believe it. I know there's some schools in Pennsylvania that put out some really good kids. Obviously, Clary University put out Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I know.
Probably the most famous wrestler ever of all time, as far as, you know, high school wrestlers coming up, you know, are inspired by this guy, Dan Gable. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, absolutely.
And
sure.
If you ever seen any kind of documentary about his career, you'd understand why. I mean, the guy is just a monster, or he was a monster when he wrestled. He only had one loss, and it was like, you know, wasn't really a fluke, but it wasn't a blowout either.
Yeah.
you know, how Judge Pond went crazy and he shot and killed Dave Schultz. It was just, the news was just breaking at the time. And I would have looked like an idiot. Because the first thing I would have said was, Dave the Hammer Schultz from Philadelphia Flyers being my big Philadelphia sports team. And then the next thing I would have said was the professional wrestling, I would have gotten deep shit twice.
Another wrestling news. I did also want to mention that guy you just mentioned like six times over the course of the show for some reason. We haven't talked about it yet for real. Kurt Angle has been cleared of all charges against his psycho ex-girlfriend, I guess.
Yeah, I read that.
So there's no HGH abuse. I guess he has a prescription. So he can possess human growth hormone as long as he wants, as much as he wants, and inject it every night. But more importantly, I think the assault charges and the protection order and all that stuff can, and the suspended license, driving with suspended license, all that being wiped out under the rug is more impressive, I think. So I don't know who he knows, but that's a pretty good job by Kurt Angle.
Well, I'll tell you what Kurt Angle knows. Back in 1998, before he started, the Olympics 2 years prior, and next year, or just 2 years later, 1998, I was getting ready for a boxing match at Penn State University, and Dr. Cox is not going to be there. Because Dr. Cox, as I just told you, was a very famous wrestling coach. He was getting inducted into the Pennsylvania State Athletic Hall of Fame for wrestling, and Kurt Angle was his presenter. I have a picture of him.
Wow.
That's
pretty
So I noticed, and obviously at the time, I didn't follow a whole lot of amateur wrestling, follow the Olympics. I didn't know who Kurt Angle was when he beat the Iranian for the Olympic gold medal. And 2 years later, I see the picture of
welcome to Cage Fighting Extreme.
I don't know what the hell's going on. 2 years after that, Kurt Angle was a big point professional wrestler with the dead WWF. And he was like one of my favorites. I had a Kurt Angle t-shirt saying, "It's true, it's true. Intensity, integrity, intelligence." And I want an autograph. And I take a picture. I'm like, "Yo, Dr. Cox, help me out here." He didn't even call me back.
Huh.
Hey, guys, come on, man. One of your favorite guys. Yeah, let's get up here. Get up here. Speaking of autographs, I wasn't trying to get to that. We're not hopping to think of this.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, you're right in the area, so it's a perfect chance to get a little YouTube video with Bernard Hopkins. How about that?
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of high-caliber fighters, DMX is out in his boxing/MMA fight. The media still can't make up their mind about what this is going to be or figure it out. But I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a boxing match, or it was supposed to be a boxing match. It might still be. Who knows? But DMX is out because they wouldn't fix the fight for him. Do you believe this?
Huh.
He had tried to write into the contract, "All parties agree this event has been scheduled to occur only in fun and that the artist involved is not a professional boxer." That's what they say. And not what they tried to write into the contract. What they tried to write into the contract was the artist will be the winner, you know. So it was like clear and cut that, DMX was supposed to win the fight. So the promoter said, "No. Not going to do that," and guess who's stepping up to the plate for this MMA or boxing match? Coolio.
Oh my god.
Coolio is going to fight. I think that's going to be serious. They actually signed him today.
Why?
So it's going to happen. And speaking of old rappers and gang life, not really gang life. Going back in the way back machine, you're gonna feel like it's the 90s again because Mike Tyson was arrested again.
I read that.
And I was interested with a paparazzo, which is the singular for paparazzi, I guess. I never knew that until the story came out. Or I just forgot about it until now. But I guess he was supposedly protecting one of his kids, he says. And both him and the photographer were arrested. So, it sounds to me like the judge is going to be like, all right, you know, you're Mike Tyson. You busted this guy's face up. He was pestering you. Pay his hospital bill, move on, and your record is clear. Get out of my courtroom before you kill me. But as I've said before, I think Mike Tyson must have the coolest probation officer in the world because he's, I think, supposed to be on probation, and he's at an airport. I mean, that's usually forbidden for guys who are on probation to be flying all over the place. And he's on like a major media tour lately, so you can understand why the paparazzi is following him again. But, you know, defending his kid sounds like, you know, he was trying to get the photographer not to take a picture of his kid, which is a little different than, like, you know, if the guy was hurting his kid, you know, it'd be a different story.
Right.
You know, Tyson would be okay. He can play the ball charges.
Yeah, my friend probably should be a lot more protective now. Now, the fact that he just lost a child a few months ago, now, granted, it's a completely different circumstance. The child that he lost was at home alone. He got caught up in the cord of a treadmill and got, you know, suffocated. But still, I think he's going to be so overprotected. I mean, he's always loony as he was. I mean, I think that pushes him over the definitely more looniness.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw him a little bit on Oprah there. I don't know if you got to see that whole thing yet, but...
I didn't.
It's on the blog. I did put it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Tyson's. Apparently, cut the guy pretty good. He had to go to the hospital. Cut his forehead open. And I guess both Tyson and the photographer want to press charges for misdemeanor batteries. So what I'm wondering is, usually, I mean, no matter what kind of probation that you have, if you get arrested, you have to serve your suspended sentence. So I'm wondering if Arizona is going to do something bad to him if he gets charged there. Well, he's already been charged. The guy's going to press charges. So, I don't know. That is the guy that is famous for doing crazy things out there, Sheriff Arpaio. So I'm sure, like, if he makes Tyson go to the prisons and tell prisoners not to act up, he'll get a free pass or something. He's kind of a crazy dude. And I'm sure he's got a sweetheart deal with the corrections department out there, whatever's going on. I don't know. Maybe it was so long ago. Maybe he's already done with his probation. I don't know. I haven't checked up on him in a while. And speaking of old heavyweights, Michael Moore has challenged Kimbo Slice. Have you heard that?
Oh, my God.
No, it's a cage fight, I believe.
Oh, dear Lord.
So, Michael Moore finally went off the deep end after he got thrown out of the Pacquiao camp, I guess.
I think he got tired of falling up in his out of room, so he challenged
him up. And there's a lot of crossover going on here with the combat sports league. We've got a couple stories here about that. First of all, Rasheed Wallace, you know that guy? He's from Philly.
He's a basketball player, sure.
Well, in a big interview with NBA.com, he talks about not only his love for boxing, but his desire to get into it for the health benefits and to train with none other than Bernard Hopkins.
Wow. Well, that would actually be really cool because the fact that even when he was just a high school kid, I mean, I've never met him personally, but he was well-known throughout the entire Philadelphia area as a high school basketball prodigy. And I remember even a friend of mine, you know, said they were down and that they were playing, like, you know, beach football all the time, and, you know, Rasheed was really banging him around, and he had, like, he's older than us, and roughing him off and all that. But true, probably not, but everybody always said, like, how much of a high school was and how much, like, you know, the anti-social he was and sociopath, whatever you call them, people that are like assholes. I mean, I didn't say that, but you know, still, that was always a reputation that, you know, he was a bit of a head case and, you know, a bit of an anti-social person. So maybe it's good that he trained in a guys that are Hopkins, and it's humbling a little bit. You know,
right.
I mean, it's not like Michigan Hopkins beat them up, but Hopkins put them through some drills, and, you know, really, you know, you can be a great athlete and everything, but I think that you get in that doctor, right? I mean, you even get on that bag. I've seen people that would, you know, get on the treadmill and go for 10 miles, and it began one of them on the bag.
Oh, yeah. He says, actually, I think boxing is a harder workout than basketball. There are so many key things you have to work on. You have to work on your body because you're going to take so much physical punishment. You have to work on your neck, all your individual muscles. So I would say that boxing workouts are a little bit harder. That's kind of a loose quote there. That's not exactly word for word, but I am reading most of it from this article. And the best part about this article is his answer to the question of how he became such a big boxing fan. His answer was, come on, man, I'm from Philly.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
That's a really good answer.
And then this is the most outrageous crossover story of all time right here. A guy who likes to make waves, Ocho Cinco, football world, he has challenged Anderson Silva to a fight with the benefit going to charity, and not just challenged him, but this has been accepted by Dana White, who refused to let Anderson Silva fight Roy Jones. But he's going to let him fight Ocho Cinco, who had taken up boxing over the past year. And it was adamant that he was going to be able to fight Andre Berto someday. He made some waves for saying that. But now, apparently, he's challenged Anderson Silva in MMA, even though he hasn't even done MMA, as far as I know. And Dana White is apparently accepted, albeit on Twitter. But I suppose it's going to happen, according to Fighters.com. That's going to be interesting. I don't know, it sounds like one of those things where it's going to be just like DMX, but there's going to be no replacement. Something will make that fall apart, but it's just kind of funny that it's
one of the
stories out there. And other than that, really, there's nothing else. Much else going on. Of course, there's the big UFC 105 card that I want to talk briefly about here. I mentioned the matchups earlier, but Randy Couture, once again, is not getting any kind of tune-up fight here. They're throwing him right to the wolves with this Brandon Vera. He's 11-3. Very formidable guy there. He's got 7 knockout wins. And he's fought some tough guys. Keith Giardini beat up Fabricio Verdum. Frank Mir. Fabricio Verdum, he actually lost to. That was in 2008, sorry. When, and he had a split decision loss to Keith Giardini. But Frank Mir, he beat his last fight, Christoph Szyszynski. He beat him by decision. But Randy Couture is due for a win at the same time. So, I think he's got a pretty good chance of coming through with that one. And then Michael Bisping, like we said earlier, he's coming off a knockout loss to Dan Anderson. And now he's fighting Dennis Kang. Pretty sure he's one of those guys that he got from Affliction when it collapsed. Kang is a pretty tough guy. He's going to give him a good fight. And, of course, Bisping's going to be on home turf, so he's going to be amped up and, you know, hoping the crowd will carry him through. But this is going to be really the fight of his life, I think. Because he doesn't want to have 2 losses in a row in the UFC. Especially at home. But other than that, we do have a whole bunch of other fights going on. There's actually, almost more MMA fights than boxing, big boxing matches, because, you know, kind of interested. There is one more fight I did want to mention in boxing, and it's my favorite boxer, Ali Chiba.
Yeah.
Fighting at light welterweight tonight, actually, in Algeria. He's the only fight in the card. He had to go to Algeria. Kind of like Ali Chiba, come on. Not that man can't get a fight in America. Anyway, he's fighting for the NABF light welterweight title and the WBC youth world-like welterweight title. He's
31-1, 24 knockouts, 1 loss. He's fighting Javier Prieto, with 11-2, with 7 knockouts. But good luck to Ali Chiba.
Cool.
And for other MMA matches, other than UFC, of course, we have the CageFX event. Full fight cards on our blog, on the main page there. You'll see the whole fight poster and the card there. The Lee Bean fight, the heavyweight fight that looks like it was supposed to be the main event, was canceled because Lee Bean had an injury. So he's pretty pissed off, I heard about it, but life goes on. Hopefully we'll see him come back. He's a pretty entertaining fighter. He's kind of like a Roy Big Country Nelson type guy, but he's a little bit more svelte and, you know, it looks like he's in better shape. And he's a very technical fighter. You know, he doesn't fight sloppy at all. So I would not be surprised if, you know, if he really puts the time in, that within 5 years he could be in the UFC for sure. He's one of those type of guys. It seems like he just you know, he goes off and you know, he really takes it to an extreme. He loves it. I think I know actually from talking to the promoter, Linda Shields. She told me that he had this thing he had to master, jumping out of the cage. You know, he wanted to do this so bad. So he practiced that, you know, because he was already pretty sure he could beat this guy that he was fighting. So he went on to the extras, the celebration, and he was determined to figure out how to jump out of the ring. And this is a guy who's almost 300 pounds. He's very big, too. And so he's kind of naturally big rather than fat big, like Big Country. So it was very impressive to see in action, actually, when he jumped right in front of me out of the ring, out of the cage, actually, at the Brockton show, the outdoor show at the Brockton Rock Stadium. It was pretty crazy. But other than that, you know, his fighting skills are tremendous. But anyway, that's going on there in Plymouth. There's a whole bunch of other fights on that card. A lot less than that Brockton fight card, so that I think it's going to actually end in a decent hour this time. So I'm hoping that it's going to be a lot better show as far as the way it ends. Last time it kind of ended on a bad note because everybody was drunk and crazy. The ring was slippery, and the last fight ended because the kid slipped before he could even throw a punch and busted his ankle. So this time I know it's going to be better, and it's indoors, so I don't think we'll have any dew on the mat. But also going on all over the place. We got stuff going on in Brazil, the Natal Fight Championship on the 12th tonight. Tomorrow night we have three events. In Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, we have Canadian Fighting Championship 3. We have Council Bluffs, Iowa, the Rising, the BFC 29. Real Fighting Championships 19 is going on at the Alucard Pavilion in Tampa, Florida. And then, of course, we have UFC 105 on Saturday in Manchester, England. Also on Saturday, we have Nitrix Show Fight in Itaja, Santa Catarina, Brazil. Called Out MMA 2, which is apparently streaming live on Sherdog, is also on Saturday. And it doesn't say the location right here in front of me. We'll find out after I get through all the rest of them here on Saturday. A lot of fights on Saturday. We got fights in Auckland, New Zealand. Supremacy Cage Fighting 4 is going on. Torrance, California, in Alpine Village. We have MMA at the Alpine, TFA 17. Then we have fights going on in Gdynia. Poland. Grabowski versus Overeem, Beast of the East. It's going on Saturday, too. And Desert Diamond Casino, Rage in the Cage 137 is going on in Tucson, Arizona. And then fights going on in Lithuania, of all places. Bushido, Lithuania. Heroes 2009 is going on Saturday. That's the last one there. And then up until the 18th when we have my boy, Matt Brown, facing the guy that convinced me never to go into martial arts, mixed martial arts, Jose Aldo, on WEC 44. That's next Wednesday. that is a fight I want to see. Matt Brown is the guy who I believe I might have even been on the wrestling team with him. I don't quite remember if I was or not, because that was kind of a shaky time. I fell off the roof of the building around that time when I was on the wrestling team. So I didn't even get to do a full season, but I know that the time I did spend, I'll never forget, it was a pretty intense workout. So it was a very good wrestling team. And, you know, we're in the mountains of Vermont, so I'm plenty of clean, good air to run around and breathe and get in shape with. So I know he did all his time there at Norwich on the wrestling team. I'm pretty sure he must have done all 4 years, so I know he's in good shape, and I've seen him fight, and he just got tremendous hands. He was very good boxing in addition to his wrestling. But he pretty much destroyed the WEC poster child, and this Aldo kid kind of scares me, but I don't think he scares Brown. That's going to be one of the best fights on free TV you'll ever see, I think. It'll be a good one. But Aldo, he's the guy I always talk about because I've seen him take this kid out in like 18 seconds in a WEC fight. And, you know, everybody tells me, because, you know, once I get around to telling me, you know, I wrestled in high school, you know, I'm a boxer, they say, why don't you do MMA? Well, I see this guy come out of nowhere. He flies out of his corner, knees the guy in the face, and the guy falls to the ground face first, and then he tags the kid in the face as he's knocked out, after he's knocked out, about 6 or 7 times before the ref can even get in there and wave it off. I mean, it was so fast, so incredibly just vicious, accurate. And then I just was like, you know, my jaw pretty much drops to the floor, and I said, you know, that is a good reason why I should never get into that sport. Because I don't want my fight to ever be over before it even begins, you know. And that rarely happens in boxing. You don't ever really get the first 10 seconds knockout. You know, it happens, but not that often. Not like MMA can happen. But on that note, that's about it. I think we've exhausted everything, and we're actually running really close to the last minute here. We've got 4 minutes left. So any final thoughts on your part? I fought for the last, like, 10 minutes here.
No real final thoughts. Good interview tonight. Looking forward to next week. And, big fight weekend. I mean, I'm going to be following the boxing. I think you'll be at the MMA card. So, we'll have to our thoughts on the next video. But I'll see how my prediction comes up this week. But as of right now, I took a Pacquiao by stopping in the ninth round. And we'll see if that comes true. And,
not only did you pick the ninth round, but you had a minute mark. That was the first.
1:55 was the ninth round.
What, did an angel come down from heaven and give you that number? What's going on there?
No, I just kind of liked it. I get the first time I've here. This is the second or third time that I've actually put, like, a minute mark in there. And the last one, because when I did this article, I did a save guys for my previous article. See, I have all my best fights and strength weaknesses. Well, the last one I had done was Jones, but I didn't back you up. And I had picked up on the deal, like, 1:35 or 10th round or whatever, you put only 2 rounds. Then I was just, 1:35, because you got it, it's too much of a deal.
Yeah, I was funny. I said, wow, he's really serious about this pick, man. Talk about analysis.
I think it was Cotto versus Juva. I only missed it by 20 seconds.
Well, I got picked, like, for Pacquiao's sake, let's hope you're right. And for Cotto's sake, let's hope he doesn't take too bad of a beating so he doesn't end up in the position of a guy like Taylor there. Jermaine Taylor.
Sure. Right.
Everybody's saying, get out the sport before it kills you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want Cotto to put up a fight because I want it to be like one of those epic fights that we haven't seen in a while, but I just don't have a good feeling about him. I think it's probably going to be tough for me to see because boxing, one good thing about them
is they protect their copyrighted material very well. You know, it's very tough nowadays to find good boxing matches.